Hi, I'm Andrew Rich, and if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
And welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and I am back once again and joined by my co-host and good friend, Kelly. Kelly, thanks for holding it down in the last episode.
Oh, I was happy to do it. Tell me, how was the beautiful shores of Kokomo?
Beautiful. Kokomo? Is Kokomo a real place or just the Beach Boys song?
It is a real place, but it is not a Beach Boys type area. I think it's just in like Indiana.
Oh, yes, there is Kokomo, Indiana. Yeah, I did forget about that. Yeah, so here we are. We're back. Last episode, you were talking the 30 under 30, but now we're back to our main objective.
Yep.
Talking Joshi wrestling, and we've got a lot to talk about, a lot of different things to talk about. But before we do, got to get our plugs in. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So let's get right into it. We are going to be talking some Natsupoi and Seiryano produce show action today. They had their 10th anniversary Our Footprints show at Oda City General Gymnasium on May 31st. In front of a very impressive 2,837 fans. Kelly, what'd you think about this show?
I really, really liked this show. I felt like it was a perfect kind of like distillation of them as wrestlers turned into a show. And it really illustrated their history together well. And like that crowd number, that is a triumph. Like they drew really well.
Yeah, really well. I liked the show too. I thought it weirdly felt very long to me. Kelly, I know we talked about this before that you sort of watched pieces. I watched it in two goes. And I had watched like six matches and I was like, okay, we've got like, you know, a little bit left. And I looked at the video file and there was still 2.5 hours left. And I was like, you know, some of that at the end ended up being some, you know, farewells, some performances, some speeches. So the wrestling action was not that long, but there was a moment when I was like, oh, we're going for a while here, but I did like it. I liked the in-ring action. So I thought a very solid show. But what was on that show? Well, let's open it up with the pre-show tag team match. This was an actress girls match as Natsuki and Yukina Uehara defeated ACT and Mari in 7 minutes and 56 seconds. Kelly, I know you have strong feelings about actress girls. So what did you think of this match?
I thought this was very cool. I thought they did a really good job kind of telling the story of their early career through this match. I liked the whole opening song and dance. And it was one of those where it's like, damn, if you could get these people, these wrestlers in front of a crowd this size all the time, actress girls could be so huge in Japan. Like, it just feels like something that should be big. And I thought the match was really good. Kind of wild to see ACT in a what is effectively a stardom ring again. That's pretty wild. But yeah, it was a fun match, fun opener. I thought it was the great way to do the pre-show, is just kind of like one solid presentation of actress girls.
Yeah, I thought it was fun as well. Good to see ACT. That was also in my notes. Good thing these are just performers acting out the performance of wrestling and not actual wrestlers.
Yes.
Who are, but yeah, I thought it was fun. You know, I have always thought that I wish we could cover actress girls on this show a little bit more, but usually time and many other things. I think I've been subscribed to the Actress Girls streaming service since it launched, but many reasons for, you know, we don't cover it as much as we do, but maybe we should. But yeah, I thought it was a good pre-show match. I liked the introduction of, you know, their history and all of that stuff, because I thought it added a fun wrinkle. But yeah, a good first match.
Mm-hmm.
The next match was another tag team match. Tai Hanma and Yuna Manase defeating Maika Ozaki and Yuki Harima in 8 minutes and 54 seconds. Yuki Harima returning after a long, I mean, I guess retirement, I would say, maybe not returning after a long retirement, but is now a well-known anime voice actress.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
And was very good in this match, I would say.
Yeah, no, she was great. She didn't really even have any ring rust, I would say.
Also, I know that she's retiring this year, and I guess maybe I've never thought about it, but Tai Hanma is 39 years old.
That's crazy.
Did you see that? They were like, 1986, and I was like, what?
Yeah.
If you'd have asked, I would have said she's like 31.
Yeah. No, that's crazy. I would not have guessed that she's been doing it this long, or that she's that old at all.
Happy to see Maika Ozaki, who I really like and sort of never does much.
Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like she was around a lot more in just even like last year.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I think if the Joshi scene were in any way sort of normal,
mm-hmm.
probably some bigger promotion would have been like, hey, come wrestle. Like if it worked, I guess like US does, it would be like, hey, you're talented, come wrestle for us. You know, this is sort of, it's also sort of related to, I was thinking, I guess this is totally unrelated to the show. And Kelly, I don't know if you saw this news, but Yu is retiring.
I did see that.
Just announced, will be retiring at the end of December. So still a good amount of time, but makes me think that it is sort of odd that it does feel like in the Joshi scene that there's no middle anymore. You sort of have, of course, Stardom, Marigold, Tokyo Joshi is now, I guess, big. I would say those are probably the big three. And there used to be, like, Ice Ribbon was sort of like a big size middle. Big size, middle size.
Yeah.
Like, Seedling was getting there when they were building and doing the hair match and the all that stuff. It was like, okay, here's the middle where you can get booked on these shows. And even though it's not a top promotion, it's sort of like, okay, people are watching this. They're drawing solid crowds. You know, Sendai Girls is sort of that. Oz Academy, I guess, sort of that. But it feels very much like three big promotions now and a bunch of very small promotions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know that anyone's getting booked in Oz Academy and, like, the wrestling world at large is being like, whoa, look at that person. Like, it's only the people who are already deep into the scene and are like, oh, I've already known about this person for, you know, 5 years, and now they're getting booked on Oz Academy.
Pretty much. That's how it's been going lately. It's weird discovering people at this point, because I feel like it doesn't happen anywhere near as much. It's, we see them as rookies and then follow them through their growth, but it's like the, it's rare to finally to find a wrestler where I'm like, oh my god, they're so good, and then it's like they've been doing it all these years. How?
Yeah, and I'm very interested to see sort of all these more veteran names retire. You know, you retiring, Tai Hanma, Risa Sera retiring.
Yep.
And so it's just interesting because I don't know that they really have the people to replace. Like, you for a time was on like every show that was ever run. And
she works everywhere.
And I'm like, is there someone young who that will happen to? I mean, I guess it's possible. These things have happened, you know, and there have been people.
Yeah, I mean, ideally, hopefully Maiko Ozaki will be someone that is able to kind of step up into that role.
Yeah, so we'll see. But I thought that was interesting, sort of seeing Ozaki and being like, oh, I've always thought she's great, and she's never really done, I mean, especially now that Ice Ribbon has sort of dropped off a cliff. It's sort of like, anything. And I wish he did.
Mm-hmm.
Also fun in this match, Nao Kakuta, the referee yes. of this match. So that was fun to see her, because this, I believe, also would have been her 10th anniversary had she not, of course, retired. So good to see her back. And always fun to see these people come back and have a match that you're like, oh, they could come back now and we'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. Please come back.
The next match, another tag team match. It's all tag team matches. No, it isn't all tag team matches. Miku Kanai and Yumi Kohoda defeating Kiori Ito and Rion in 8 minutes and 52 seconds. Didn't have that much to say about this. Thought it was a good win for Miku on this show. But other than that, I thought it was solid, but sort of forgettable.
Yeah, I was happy to see Miku win because she's great. And it was fun to see these two big aunties fight alongside their tiny nieces.
The next match was the classic Joshi Rumble match won by Shinkuro Sayori Ano, which, of course, Sakura Hirota dressed as Sayori Ano, winning this. I actually liked this Sakura Hirota gimmick in this Battle Royal more than I usually do. I think because there was some variety, because she did Natsupoi, she did Sayori, so there was some variety there. Other than that, it was your classic Rumble on a Joshi show. You sort of know what you're getting. Even the people, I bet if I was like, there was a Rumble match on the show, guess the people who were in it. Could you guess that Hiroyo Matsumoto would be in it? You probably could.
Yeah.
Could you guess that Ryu Mizunami is in it? You probably could. So, you know, fun. Nothing like life-changingly hilarious or interesting, but got people on the show, you know, had some fun. The crowd seemed into it. So no complaints.
Yeah, it was, if you like Sakura Hirota's gimmick, you'll love this match because she does it three times.
And each time she came out, her face was very white.
Yes.
And I was very thrown off by that because I was like, is she wearing like a mask? And then I realized her face was just very pale. But yeah, if you like Sakura Hirota, this is a match for you.
Yeah.
The next match, we got into a singles match, and this was Mayumi Ozaki defeating Sayaka Carrara in 12 minutes and 32 seconds. Kelly, I'll throw it to you first because I think I have, I think I'm a little bit off of the consensus of this match, so I want to know what you think first.
Interesting. I liked this a lot. I felt like it was kind of exactly what you want out of a match like this. The only thing it was missing was blood and police. I really enjoyed when Carrara was going to use the chain and Daichi covered his eyes. Yeah, I'm finding myself liking Daichi more and more. He's really turning it around.
Wow. But,
yeah, but I enjoyed this match quite a bit. I went 3 3/4.
I thought for me this was the match of the show. For me, I went 4 stars. I thought it was great. I do agree with you that I was like, if Sayaka Carrara would have bled, I would have been way higher. Because that, I mean, you're getting hit with a chain in the face.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's it. But I really liked it. Ozaki looked good. Carrara had the great comeback near the end. Hit a really good spear at one point, which is... not usual because I think many spears look like garbage. But I just really loved it. A really great underdog, like fiery underdog performance from Carrara. So I thought it was really great. I'm sure there are people probably, and I said I was sort of off the consensus because Cage Match has this at 6.56 based on their vote. So I'm much higher than that. But I could see some people, if you don't like the Oz Academy, like the Ozaki chain, you know, the fact that it's just like, oh, she's cheating the whole match and and we just sort of live with it. I could see maybe not liking it as much, but I thought it was really great.
Well, the fact is those people that don't like that, they're wrong.
Well, you heard it here first.
Yep.
The next match, another singles match, Saki defeating Yuna Mizumori in 14 minutes and 3 seconds. This one I thought was fine. It felt a little long to me. It went actually longer than the previous match, so I'm not entirely wrong, 14 minutes. It wasn't that long. I don't know. There's something I talked about it, I think, the last episode. Or I guess I should say 2 episodes ago at this point. But Mizumori now to me feels such like a nothing wrestler. Like it feels like, oh, there was a time when you were really exciting and there was this great story of you fighting back and now you're just sort of a random lower card like Joshi wrestler to me. So I don't know. I've seen a lot of Saki, so it never really grabbed me. You know, I think on a show like this also, you're sort of fighting with that none of these matches really matter.
Yeah.
At all. It's sort of like, okay, I could get into Ozaki Carrara because it's like, hey, we're fighting, you know, it's the classic underdog story, but this is just a story of like, we're two wrestlers and we're going out and we're wrestling. And I'm like, okay. Like it wasn't bad. I just sort of it ended and I was like, okay, let's move on.
Yeah, I enjoyed this. Like it felt like the ghost of Choco Pro's past. I thought it was fun. I'm glad that Yuna got to be in a match that she actually got time in. I don't know. I thought they both worked hard. I ended up going 3 3/4 on this one too.
The next match was a tag team match, the Neo Genesis team of Azumi and Starlight Kid going to a 15-minute time limit draw with Hanan and Saya Iida. That dang time limit draw. I just have a weird thing about this because the thing when there's time limit draws is you always look back and you're like, yeah, it does seem like they struggle to fill 15 minutes of time, which it felt at times here. I thought that. I'm like, why is it that no wrestler can ever properly, like, I feel like every time limit draw, you can look back and be like, yeah, they were really BSing at the beginning. I'm like, can't we ever have a time limit draw where we don't say that? And I feel like it almost never happens.
This was as close as we've gotten in a long time to me. Like, I felt it was kind of like going into the match, I knew it was going to be a time limit draw just because who was going to lose here? It didn't really make any sense for anyone here to get beat, so it had to go to a draw. So I think that kind of helped me with it, where I was just like, yeah, I know what it is going in, and I thought they filled the time well enough, and the action was pretty good. I thought the pacing was solid throughout. Starlight Kid and Hanan were the stars of the match to me, and I thought the limb work stuff they did was really good.
Yeah, it always just felt like I enjoyed it, but it felt to me very much like, oh, let's go out and have a good match, but in case we ever need to wrestle again, let's save the stuff for the big shows that we're on.
So yeah, they were like definitely good. Keeping stuff in the can.
Yeah, but like, and I think my expectations were really high because I was like, oh, this match could be really good. And it felt like they went out and were sort of like, okay, let's not blow all the secrets on this, you know, fourth from the top or third from the top on this, 10th anniversary show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I thought it was good. Not, wasn't blown away, but I thought it was good. The next match was a singles match, Seri defeating Aya Sakura in 12 minutes and 25 seconds. I mean, my note was, I think the two rookie veteran matches on this show were the two best things on the show to me. I actually sort of liked Ozaki and Carrara more, but I like both the matches. I just think, again, it's a thing where it's like, oh, there's no story of any of these matches. And the two matches I liked most were the ones that did have a little bit of a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Seri, of course, great. And I thought Sakura looked good.
Yeah, no, she did really good. Even though, like, this was one of those, you know, it's going to be a mauling going in. But Sakura did really well. If I was her, I would have called it a day once she got hit with the drop kick when she was, like, laying on the ropes. That looked like it fucking sucked. But she held up her end of things pretty well. And sorry, I'm sorry I didn't get you into the top five of the 30 under 30.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week.
Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
You can only do so much.
Yeah, I did go 4 stars on the match, though.
There you go. And then the, well, I guess the main event of the show was Natsupoi and Seriano teaming up to defeat Chihiro Hashimoto and Mika Iwata in 19 minutes and 52 seconds. Kelly, what'd you think of this, I guess, official main event?
So my first thought was that if I was booking a 10th anniversary show for, like, you and I would simply not book myself in a match where I'm going to get my ass beat. Like, the main event of our 10th anniversary show would be me and Taylor versus, like, the Brooklyn Brawler and Tom Zenk. You know? We're going to win that one.
And it would draw.
And it's not going to be an issue, and it would draw. Once we run our Mania weekend show.
Mm-hmm. I think some people, the, you know, they like the the challenge.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, this was really good. This was my favorite match of the show. I went 4.25. It was cool to see the Ciari Miki Iwata feud kind of reignite. And I loved that it ended with them kind of shaking hands, but also still hating each other. Everyone in the match was great. Poi was fantastic as the babyface in peril. And, you know, she pulled out the shock win, which I thought was a good touch. So, yeah, just great main event.
Yeah, I thought it was fun. Nothing didn't blow me away. You know, it's one of those matches where I'm like, if you missed it, that, you know, don't cry in your milk or whatever. But I liked it. I mean, Chihiro is so good. Always like seeing her doing crazy things in the ring and with two very small people, so she can really do some things in there. But good, you know, sort of what I would expect from the match as announced.
Yeah.
Then after that, Natsupoi and Siriano wrestled each other and went to a time limit draw in 5 minutes. Kelly, do you have any thoughts? This is sort of the classic, like, after the main event mess around spot. So I didn't really, you know, I didn't expect there to be a finish.
Appreciate these two sickos so much. Like, Ciari took an apron bump that she did not need to take. That looked like it sucked. But you know what? They went out there and they had fun. I had fun watching it.
And there you go. So that is the Natsupoi and Sayori Ano produce 10th anniversary show, Our Footprints. Our Footprints sounds like a section you would find in a religious tchotchke store.
Yeah. Those are the footprints when Jesus was carrying you.
When you only see one set of footprints, Natsupoi was carrying you in life. But anyway, that is that show. What else has been going on? Stardom had some official shows. They had New Blood 22. Hanako and Waka Tsukiyama successfully defending their New Blood tag titles against Himika and Yuma Makoto. Kelly, I know that you watched a little bit of the Korakuen Hall show that just happened. Do you want to talk about that?
Absolutely. You know, I had to fire up a Sari singles match on a Stardom show. She beat Rana Yagami, and that match fucking ruled. It was kind of like the opposite of the Aya Sakura match, where Rana took the fight to Sari, and they beat the shit out of each other. It was awesome. Rana came off so well in this match. Like, all of her stuff looks really polished. And just Sari's kind of the perfect opponent for her. So it didn't feel like the lamb to slaughter like the Sakura match did. This was like just two hard-hitting wrestlers that meshed really well together, and I hope they run this back at some point. Like, if this is a match you could run once a year, and I would be thrilled. So I went 4.25 on it. Definitely worth checking out.
What else has been happening? Seedling had a show on May 30th, the main event there. Veni defeating Hanori Hana to retain the Seedling Beyond the Sea title match. That show also had Konami on it, defeating Miria Koga. Mio Shirai on that show, so an interesting show there. Tokyo Joshi has had a couple of shows in the last 2 weeks. Kelly, I know you watched these as well.
I did. So on the 31st, Suzume successfully defended her International Princess title against Yoshihiko Hasegawa. That was a good match. That one confused the hell out of me for a second because I clicked on the wrong video file because the video on Wrestle Universe, I think it was a show from the 18th, had Suzume and Hasegawa in the thumbnail. So I'm like, ah, obviously this is that show. And I'm watching and I'm like, none of these matches match up what I have on Cage Match. What the fuck? And then I realized, oh, wait, I'm dumb. I'm watching the wrong show. But anyways, good match. The show on the 1st had an 8-person elimination tag match that the winner of that got the Princess of Princess title match. From the winning team, you had Yuki Arai and Arisu Endo left, so they faced off in a singles match, and Yuki Arai won. That was a fun match. I enjoyed it. Nothing you need to go out of your way to see, but a good time. And then on the 7th, a show that I have not seen yet, but this is just an odd thing to say, that the MLW Women's World Featherweight title was defended in Tokyo Joshi Pro. Shoko Nakajima successfully defending against Taiyab Toribami in 1653, so they got some time. So I actually would like to go back and see how Toribami does in a match, a singles match with that amount of time, because I don't believe she's had that chance yet.
Well, the world of MLW never stops.
Never stops.
It never stops. Actually, they are running Wakano Uehara versus Yuki Kamifuku. Very close to me. So I may go to that at the end of this month.
You got to go.
So we'll see, because they bring them over. They seem to have a good relationship with Tokyo Joshi. So I guess good. And you get a little title match there in Japan. What else? Catch the Wave continues to happen in Wave. Of course, not going up, at least easily accessible. But still continuing on. Kelly, what is going on in Choco Pro?
Choco Pro ran Choco Pro 452, the Apple film, on the 29th. That is Mei Suruga's 7th anniversary show. In the semi-main, you had the Asia Dream tag titles defended with the team of Bellflowers, Sayaka, and Makoto successfully defending against Miyu Yatsuba and Soy. And then in the main event, you had the Super Asia title match, Mei Suruga successfully defending her title against Stardom's Mei Sierra. Really fun main event, you know, good high-speed stuff. It's crazy to think that Suruga's been around for 7 years now. And I really hope to see these two wrestle again, because it felt like they still left some in the tank. It was only about 14 minutes long, but still good. I went 4 stars. Taylor, did you see this one?
I did. I did watch the main event. I thought it was fine. I probably would have been like 3.5. I will say I am usually a Bali and Aki defender, a major defender. I would say if you are not a fan of his commentary style,
yeah,
this is a match that I would skip.
He was very yelly that day.
He was very yelly. I think my expectations were very, very high, and I just don't think they ever really got to where I thought they could get to. So it was probably more over expecting than the quality of the match. I still thought it was solid. But I think also, as you said, like to see them again, because I think that they probably have more that they could do.
Yeah. And after the match, May telling May that Choco Pro is going to get as big as Stardom, so watch out.
Oh, interesting.
Good luck to them. But also in the post-match, we were introduced to the new general manager of Choco Pro. Her name is Aoi Kizuki, a former wrestler, retired in 2018. She was trained by Emi Sakura and worked in Ice Ribbon. Her final match, she actually teamed with Mei and Riho. And so she was appointed to this job by Emi Sakura. I'm not sure if it's like a shoot position, but it would make a lot of sense if it was. Either way, she's very personable and seems to be kind of fun in this role. But it does make sense if this is like an actual business decision, with Masa Takanashi having to step away because of his horrible neck injury. And on that note, I did want to say that they have a GoFundMe up for his recovery efforts, and I made sure to, I donated some money to it. And if you have some cash to spare, I would say this is a good place to give it. Because homie dislocated his head from his neck. That sounds horrible. I didn't know you could do that and not die.
Yeah, that sounds not fun.
Yeah.
in any way.
No. So,
yes, I would also say donate to that if you can. Definitely a worthwhile cause. All right, so that is everything that has happened in the last 2 weeks. What is coming up? Well, probably the biggest show of the 2 weeks will be on June 21st, and that will be Stardom, The Conversion, a show title that still makes almost no sense to me as a name. I saw someone posted something about it that was like, what was it? But they were like, if you don't do this, you will be converted at Stardom, The Conversion. And I was like, that doesn't really make
we're converting sense. Asses to kicked asses.
Yeah. But anyway, of course, the big match, and now the official match, Siri beating Alex Windsor for the IWGP Women's title this past week. So it will officially be the champion, Siri, defending that IWGP title against Sari at that show. That was sort of a match they had set up and then been like, but wait,
we have this other thing.
Gonna have this other match. So that is official. Also on that show will be Ami Sorey's return match.
Oh,
will be happening. Hina will be defending the Future of Stardom title against Rion. And Wingori, the champions, the goddesses of Stardom champions, will be defending against Natsupoi and Sariano. So those just recently announced. I believe they'll probably have, well, they definitely will announce more matches. Not sure if they'll have Kamatani or Starlight Kid on that show. I would assume they wouldn't. Or maybe have one of them, but it seems like they're trying to make the IWGP title sort of a draw that it wasn't when Mayu had it, and it was sort of like, we need an extra
little match
in the show. Make it a defense that no one thinks Mayu's losing.
Yeah, I'm assuming the other two champions will just be in like undercard tags to set up their next defenses.
Now, Kelly, do you think after the record-breaking reign of Mayu Iwatani that we will see Sari defeat Siri after only one defense? What do you think?
I mean, that would be pretty sick. I want it to happen. I don't know if it will, but I would be pumped about Sari winning the title.
But either way, I think it will be a great match.
For sure.
Proof of it, as they faced off at Sariism. They went to a time limit draw there, right? I'm remembering that correctly.
Yes.
That was a great match, as really most of the Sariism main events have been. So looking forward to that. I'm sure that there may be one or two more big matches announced, but we don't know them quite yet. So stay tuned for that. What else is happening? Seedling has a show on June 17th. That will be main evented by Venny defending the Beyond the Sea title against Makoto. Tokyo Joshi has a show on June 14th celebrating Namba Sayuri, which will have some interesting matches on it.
This looks ridiculous. I love it.
The first will be Harada Kazuki versus Shrek Hideki. The Namba will be the round ring girl, I guess, in that match. The ring announcer of that match is to be announced. That will be a round-based special match. The next match will be Leona versus Antonio Honda. Namba will be the ring announcer for that. And there will be a match report by Ishiyuki from Weekly Pro Wrestling. I don't really know what that means. Are they the commentator? Does that mean commentator, I guess?
Maybe.
But anyway, the main event will be Mizuki and Suzume with Namba teaming up against two X mystery opponents, X and double X. And the ring announcer is also TBA. To be announced for that match. Supposedly, there are going to be six matches total. So we know three of them, but we'll see the other three as they celebrate or say farewell to Namba as she heads off to Vancouver and will be leaving the announcer, ring announcer position.
I wonder if some Vancouver area company is going to try and pick her up.
They certainly could, or it would be a good connection to Tokyo Joshi.
Yeah, no, I was like, if I'm a company that runs out of Vancouver, I would definitely send some DMs or something.
Marigold has two shows coming up, one on June 14th, which will see the debut of Yuka Yamazaki. And then on the 17th of June, they will have a Corican Hall show. The two big matches on that show will be Riko Kawahata and Maria Magenta, the newly heel Magenta, defending the Twin Star tag titles against Mai Sakurai and Chen Yoda. And then the main event, I believe, will be another Marigold versus Marvelous showdown. It will be Mayu Iwatani, Utami, and Sari Yamaoka against Takumi Iroha, Seka Akatsuki, and Sora Ayami. Seems a bit uneven to have one team have Mayu and Utami, and the other team have two people who have wrestled, I believe, less than 20 matches combined. I'm like slightly unbalanced, but that should be very good. Looking forward to that match. Ice Ribbon has a show on the 21st. Unagi Sayaka will be on that show facing off against Kararo Wakana. And Manami Katsu will defend the Ice Infinity title against Akane Fujita. And then in Wave, Catch the Wave continues. Maybe next time we'll talk about it, but based on the pattern, probably not. Kelly, what do you have to say for yourself?
I don't have a lot to say. It's this time of year, going outside more. Gonna go, hopefully go on with some adventures in the next week or so. Did we talk about the ending of the rehearsal?
No, we didn't, because it happened when I was gone.
That's true. I told my friend before they saw it, I'm like, man, this finale goes places. And then after they watched it, I was like, I meant literally goes places, because he flies a plane now.
Well, I saw Mission Impossible this week, and I said 2025 is the year of men flying planes.
Yeah.
To figure out their lives.
Plane flying summer.
Yeah. Did you see the interview that Nathan did with Wolf Blitzer on CNN?
Oh, my God. Did I ever. That interview made me think, I was like watching that interview and I had the thought of Nathan might be one of the funniest people to ever live.
There was a comment on the video I saw on YouTube that said, for many years, we've thought Nathan Fielder is a very stiff actor, but it turns out he's just a very relaxed pilot.
Yeah, 100%.
That's true. yeah, definitely worth watching.
Incredible stuff.
A rare Kelly and Taylor dual endorsement.
Yeah,
on this show. So,
speaking of Max, have you? I haven't seen much of it yet. Have you watched any of that Pee Wee documentary?
I have not. Although I have seen a lot of people posting their cameos that they got from him, which are all very nice. And I think a lot of it is born out of people watching the documentary. And then people are posting the cameos being like, oh, if you watch the documentary, like, look at this fun cameo that he did.
Nice. Yeah, I need to finish it. The little bit that I saw was very good, so I'm definitely going to make some time for it soon.
Well, that is all for us, but we will be back with you in 2 weeks' time for even more Joshi. It never stops. Just like MLW, the world of Joshi never stops.
It's really like the Venn diagram is just becoming a circle.
It's just one. Joshi is MLW.
Yep.
So for Kelly, I am Taylor saying so long and see you next time.
Bye, everybody.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again. Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.